Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only while supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Previously on No Reserves Radio.
Oh my God, Angelo. Come on. Have some self-respect. The Eagles can't hurt you if you don't constantly pander to them.
Here's the biggest indictment of Dame that I can say. Dame has been so like off this year that Ren went on live air and said Jalen Brunson deserved an all-star start over him.
You are now Angelo DiDalulo.
Do you think it is possible that the management of the Memphis Grizzlies are just buying into the reckless youth movement and they got rid of the one person in the locker room that probably was telling Ja to knock it off?
Because he's taken advantage of me multiple times when I was younger. That sounded bad. Holy shit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think you're correct in that assessment.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. With me, as always, Angelo and Austin. So, if you've been following us for the past couple weeks, or, you know, for however long, I don't know how long you've been here. Welcome back, or welcome for the first time. We are continuing ranking top 10 at each position. This week will be small forwards. Few notes before we get into it. We have our own criteria for what qualifies as a player is eligible. It's not the 65 games for an award, but there is a limit. And the positions are based off Basketball Reference. So if a guy that you think should be on the top 10 is not on the top 10, he probably either did not play enough games or Basketball Reference has him listed at like center or something. Blame them, not us. Or blame Angelo. It's if he screws up, go for him. Just go all in. Couple really quick things. It's a quiet week in the NBA world. Lonzo Ball says he's been cleared for 5-on-5 next month and is getting more comfortable on the court each week. That's a pretty big uplift. There was concerns for a while that he wouldn't ever play basketball again. Also, I feel like I'm getting sick. Like as I'm talking, I'm starting to notice that I'm not really breathing out of my nose. So apologies for that.
Goddamn mouth breather.
So yeah, Lonzo returning, uplift for the Bulls, whether they trade him or keep him, because he's one of the better 3-and-D guards in the league when he's healthy. And then more close to home, Andrew Nembhard signs an extension with the Indiana Pacers, 3 years. I don't remember the exact dollar amount, $58.6 million across 3 seasons. Basically comes out to $18 million a year. Kicks in after this upcoming season, so it basically replaces his team option. So to a certain extent, think of it like a 4-year, $61 million contract. Mm-hmm. How do you guys feel? Because I'm biased, so obviously I'd love it. This is the most he could earn, given he was a second-round draft pick. So like it's not like he could have got more. But given his performance, I feel like this contract could end up being an absolute steal.
Could, but at the same time, I don't know if I would have given him the max he could have earned.
$18 million?
I understand the number, like, in a vacuum is a good number, especially for how good he was defensively in the playoffs. But at the same time, I mean, if you can save some money to add additional pieces, go for it. But maybe that wasn't the case.
I mean, the Pacers don't seem like they're ones that really want to add any more pieces.
Right. They really kind of happy with their thing. Core. They kind of want to run it back and see where they're at.
I mean, it's a semi-team-friendly contract, too. So, like, if they need to
It's a max deal. It's not a team-friendly contract.
But it is.
But it's for the production, it is.
but it's not.
Because he
couldn't earn, he couldn't physically earn anymore. There isn't any money that was left. It's good for the player. Amazing for the player.
No, because he could have hit the open market. He could have hit. He could have
Tennessee.
He could have. He could have waited and hit the open market.
An extra year.
Yeah. But like, even. Sorry, I was eating candy. $20 million is a very easily tradable contract, and if you have a player that is producing and it's in excess at the position, suddenly a team that needs a lead guard, because we saw stretches where Andrew Nembhard was the lead guard, and you said he was solid defensively. He was solid offensively. He had 30 points in an elimination game. So we saw pretty solid, I'm not going to say elite two-way play because it wasn't elite, but pretty solid two-way play for $18 million a year. Yes, he couldn't have earned more than that, but production-wise, as Austin said, if you have a guy in an elimination game that's giving you solid defense, well, I would say better than solid defense and dropping 30 points
above
against
average.
The Boston Celtics for $18 million a year. Keep in mind, Jonathan Isaac's getting paid, was $16 million a year, $17 million
a year? Yeah, we don't talk about Jonathan Isaac.
I'm just saying, like, I think that it is a team-friendly contract in terms of dollar amount for production. I get what you're saying, it's not team-friendly because it's the max he could possibly earn. I totally get that. But when you factor in the production we saw throughout the season, and especially in the postseason, you are a fan of recency bias. I feel like this is a no-brainer contract because, again, you can easily flip this contract if you need to. And he kind of... So if Benedict Mathurin does not take at least a couple steps defensively, you can't play him with Tyrese Haliburton for extended minutes. Ben Shepherd's nice, but Ben Shepherd's way more raw than Andrew Nembhard is, so... For the foreseeable future, this is a really easy plug-and-play into that two-guards position. And you know what you're getting. Granted, he is a little old for a second-year player, but...
Isn't he 24, 25?
25. He was a four-year Gonzaga player, or three-year, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I'm, like, progressively losing my voice. I can hear it.
Red's getting sick. Live on air.
Live just on air. No, I think I just talked too much today, and then I like immediately got home and started recording, so like I haven't given my voice like any time to relax today. I don't know who it was, but I love it. So yeah, I think that the Andrew Nembhard contract is a very good contract because, again, he could probably be a starter on a few teams. In the starting lead guard role, which I think could potentially be the plan to trade him for a wing, move Aaron Nesmith to the two, and have a bigger three because Aaron Nesmith is very undersized for the three.
Yes.
So let's get into the list before I completely lose my voice. What did we decide who's going first?
Austin, me, you.
Okay.
Oh, shit, I gotta go first?
Yep. We've done everyone first except you, Austin. You're not except.
He wasn't ready.
He wasn't ready. All right, number 10, right?
Number 10.
Number 10.
Hit me with it.
I put Mr. Klay Thompson.
Interesting.
How is that interesting?
Well, it's just interesting.
Okay. I mean, Klay had a down year. We can't deny that, right?
For sure.
Vastly inefficient.
Yes.
He just chucked up shots. And his team didn't get anywhere.
He still got production. Like, it may have been a little bit of empty production, and I'm going to definitely newsflash. I'm going to be a hypocrite right here. But you can't scoff at 18 points. Right? On a Warriors team that...
Just 24 points.
Yeah. No, trust me. You'll see. But, I mean, 18 points for Klay on a Warriors team that didn't really do much, I feel like. because Curry is really the only player on that team, and maybe a few young stars like Brandon Podziemski. Is that his name?
Podziemski. I don't Brandon know. That's P. one that I'm. Yeah, that's one I'm gonna have a hard time saying.
Yeah, that's gonna be your Jokic. But I mean, it is what it is. I also had a little bit of bias because now he's on the Mavs. So I want to believe he's better than what he may be.
So I do have kind of a question, and I'm playing devil's advocate here, because you both said he had an inefficient season.
Yep. Absolutely. Under 40% from three, and I believe he shot around 45% from the field.
So he shot 43% from the field. He shoots 45% for the field for his career. 38% or 39% from three, and he shoots 41% from three for his career. His effective field goal percentage was 55.1. For his career, he's 55.0.
It was inefficient for Clay from the three.
I guess. I have a hard time saying it because, it still wasn't a bad show.
For sure.
He's on 100%. 100%. I just. He wasn't that inefficient.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't know. He's at 10. It's not like he's crazy high either.
Fair.
At least he made my list.
I mean, he made my list, but I have him a little higher.
Yeah. Okay, who was next?
It was Angelo, the one that talks shit about us when we do an episode without him and there's blank space in between us talking because we're thinking, and then
he just
was completely silent.
Well, no, I didn't start. What you guys do is this. So my number 10 is Benedict Mathurin.
First off, fuck you. We don't do it nearly that bad. Second off, interesting.
So, I kind of said this in before.
You're cut it. You're leaning away from your mic and coming back in.
Kind of had a preference.
Pause.
Oh,
Angela, you were
on some lag time.
Yeah, you were fading in and out.
Lag time. It might be the connection to my mic on my computer. But anyway, so we were talking about this pre-starting recording is I believe that 7 through 10 basically could be somewhere between 8 and 10 players. And it's honestly on personal preference. And you might not like it, Ren, but I do take playoffs into account. And I do believe Benedict Mathurin, when he was on the court, is a very valuable piece for you. And the production he gives you off the bench and then able to start later as the game goes on is very crucial, especially to your guys' success.
Oh, 100%. 100%. I think Benedict Mathurin is a key piece. I just question the fit next to Tyrese Halliburton.
That's fair.
You can only hide one player on defense efficiently. And I would rather
don't I know that
all NBA player.
Don't I know that? All right, you're up.
Well, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my number 10 is Chris Middleton.
Mm.
So, what?
He's my honorable mention.
So I was gonna have him as an honorable mention until I kind of got more into the nitty gritty. And give me 1 second because I clicked off of. The Bucks. Ah, hold on. Hold on.
No, driving. Bucks.
Well, I was looking at something else and I screwed up. So, this is the one exception where I did hold
playoffs
into the factor, and I feel like this is the one free pass for the playoff production that I think I was going to give, because statistically Chris Middleton was kind of low down for the season. He's actually
very efficient though. But
he was very efficient. He shot 49 and 38 from the field in three. Throughout the season, 51 or 15.1, 4.7, 5.3 points, rebounds, assists. Post All-Star break, he kind of picked up a little bit, and that should have like set in motion the idea of what was going to happen in the playoffs, because from the field, he started shooting damn near 52%, 40% from three. Points per game went up a little bit. Rebounds jumped significantly by a whole rebound. Assist went up to 6.3. Then the playoffs happened, and Chris Middleton is the only reason the Milwaukee Bucks had even an iota of a chance in this year's playoffs. Every night he was playing hobbled, which can't be understated. Like, Damian Lillard got hurt, Giannis Antetokounmpo got hurt, and they could not play. Chris Middleton is at the twilight of his career, which, to be fair, so is Damian Lillard. And he wanted to kind of leave a mark, and you could see that with how hard he was playing every game, even when he was limping and he was hitting those buzzer beaters and like those big time shots at the end of games, and just an absolute masterclass in mid-range lethality. I typically will not put playoff performances into a consideration. And if I actually was taking playoff performance into consideration, Chris Middleton's probably in my top seven. But, oh God, the what evil laugh. The evil laugh. He put Chris Middleton in his top seven. But for me, the only time I'm going to take playoffs into consideration was Chris Middleton. The man earned it. He is my number 10. He is not my honorable mention. He made my list because of that effort.
Chris Middleton will be back.
I will. Oh my God. He did it. Austin, take us to nine.
Number nine. I put, and I'm either going to be loved or hated for this, Miles Bridges.
Okay.
Ooh. Okay.
Miles Bridges, not Mikal Bridges.
No, I know. Ooh. I have something to say on that.
I know. Mm-hmm. I figured you would as soon as I said his name.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's on the Hornets, right? The Hornets are the Hornets. They will, I don't think, ever be good in their life.
Huh. Ever. Hold on. I need to check something. I just realized I did something. Continue.
Did you forget someone?
I did not forget someone.
Okay. Then I don't care.
Oh, thank you.
He's on the Hornets. Maybe a little bit of empty stats, but he did drop 21 points. And this man wasn't, to my recollection, in the league last year.
He was not.
Right?
He should not have been back to the league. Going
through legal issues.
No, and that's actually why, spoiler alert, he's not on my list. Anyway, go on.
See, I went objective. Basketball is basketball.
Mm-hmm. But
I don't disagree with what you guys are saying.
So he is on my list. He's the one I was talking about where, like, I was hesitating having him on my list. Mm-hmm. But I was making a note that I am separating the player from the person.
Nope.
So, like,
I don't operate like that, Chief.
And you shouldn't. And I, all the power to you, and I totally agree with that. I just, but now that I'm looking at it,
oh, stats wise, he absolutely deserves to be on the
list. I did something.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
This is going to be funny. Sorry, continue.
Like the Sahara fucking desert.
I kind of just want you to go into it.
It's a couple away. It's a couple away.
Okay. Then I mean, he was not the most efficient, but like we said, on the Hornets team with really nothing else, it's fine. It's okay.
This is about to be real funny.
But that's all I got. Angelo?
Okay. My number nine was Denny Avdija.
Denny!
Avdija. Denny! Denny Avdija.
Oh, whatever. See, I'm bad with foreign names. What can I say? He's Avdija now. So anyway, Avdija was one of the lone bright spots for the cataclysm of sadness that is the Washington
He did the cutout again. Yeah, there you go.
I'm about to say, I'm standing still. It's.
I think it's an internet thing. It's not like a mic picking up thing.
Oh. It might be. Yeah, it might be that. But. Even though he did benefit from playing alongside Jordan Poole. He did average almost 15 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He shot 50% from the field, and I'd say like I said, he is one of the only bright spots I can see on this Washington team, and I just felt like he deserved to have his flowers.
So, real quick.
Yep. Absolutely.
Besides the fact I couldn't understand anything that you were saying, it was probably my best thing messing up. I don't think he was much of a bright spot because he wasn't even, like, in my brain.
Really? No Vitajay, huh?
Like, when you said Denny, I was like, oh, yeah, he's an NBA player. Mm-hmm. Like, I think I just completely blocked out anything having to do with Wizards. Except for Jordan Poole equals bad.
I mean, my God!
Bilal Coulibaly was okay.
Who?
Bilal Coulibaly, their rookie.
Like, I know these people, but you say these names, and I'm just like, okay, sure.
I mean, granted, Denny did have a definite uptick in production this season, but again, he was on the Warriors. Or not the Warriors, the Wizards.
Right, but here's the thing.
Spoiler alert, I haven't had anyone on the Wizards in any of my shortlists thus far, and that streak will continue.
I haven't even thought about putting the
but Wizards. But here's the thing, I understand that someone has to score, but quite all right, so
There's 29 NBA teams this year, Angelo.
Okay. Oh.
Yeah, the Wizards.
Come on, give Denny flowers.
Because 14.7 is not even that many points.
Like, no. Clay, you could have given Clay that.
No.
Well, my number 9 is Michael Porter Jr. Mm. 16.7, 7.0, 1.5, 48, 39 shooting. It's. There's so many players on this Nuggets team that are so critical to the ebb and flow of how they win a game.
I'd argue they all
MPJ
are.
MPJ is... Yeah, I mean, it kind of is a structured team, a really well-structured team, like, synergy-wise.
They just ruined that.
What?
You talking about the Nuggets being a structured team?
Nuggets are a very well-structured team. Aaron Gordon is one of that.
Yeah, just because they didn't play like it in that last series against the Timberwolves does not mean that they're not the best rosters in the NBA.
They just officially signed Russell Westbrook. That's what I'm saying. They just
did that officially go through?
Yeah, it just came through.
Westbrook's officially on the Nuggets. We knew that was happening, but the contract was officially signed. I don't hate the signing of Westbrook because he's ring chasing.
I mean, it was 2 for $6.8. Like, that's.
Yeah, that's pennies on the dollar. It gives them some production off the bench. We know. Like, you know what you're getting from Russ. And, like, thankfully, they have enough pieces that, worst comes to worst, you limit his minutes. And again, that contract is pretty easily tradable.
Honestly, Russ doesn't, like, scream to me as Denver Nugget. I'm not going to lie.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, but did Carmelo Anthony? But did Carmelo Anthony?
But that's
did Allen Iverson.
It's a different Nuggets team.
Yeah.
It is a different Nuggets organization from Melo to...
I'm sorry, but Russ doesn't strike me as a comrade.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's taken backseat roles quite a lot recently, actually.
I mean, if you think about his stat padding years, he was definitely not one for sharing.
No. But that's also kind of plays into, like, the benefit for the team is you have someone that when Jokic is on the bench, you actually have someone to create shots for other people, even if he's doing it to pad his own stats. We know Russ is capable of that. But MPJ is like the definition of a walking bucket. He doesn't pass the ball. Basically, if you give him the ball, he's shooting it. Thankfully, he shoots it at a pretty high clip. So,
yeah,
MPJ is number 9 for me. I feel like you could have put him higher if you valued like walking bucket syndrome more than I do. But and I feel like both of you do. So we'll see.
Michael Porter Jr. will return.
Guilty as charged. Oh, wait, that's me.
That's you. Sorry, I'm opening a bag of candy.
Yeah, we can hear it. Number 8. I need to pull his stats up because I am feeling like I made a big goof. Nope, he played enough games. RJ Barrett.
Huh.
What?
What do you mean, what? What's wrong with RJ? He dropped 20 points. That's respectable. It's been a 14, 15. But, I mean...
I sold this list, I'm not going to lie.
What do you mean you sold this list?
Go on, sorry. Go on, sorry.
Okay, okay.
Can I... RJ Barrett is in RJ Barrett on the New York Knicks and the Toronto Raptors this season?
Yes.
Yes.
That is the man, the legend.
Why don't you pull him up on Basketball Reference?
Since when was he a 2?
At least the last 2 years.
Huh.
Oh, he is ineligible. That is correct.
Yeah. He is ineligible. RJ Barrett will return next week.
Austin flung the list, not me. I like this. Austin. Golden L for Austin.
Yep, I'll
first
take
golden
it.
Was that the first Golden L of the offseason? Official.
First Golden L that we gave out in the show, yeah?
Yeah, the first official one. Yay, whoa. Golf Club.
I'm the best.
Do you want to move everyone on your list up and get a new 10?
You nah, fucked up. Fine.
It's small forward is so sad and tragic.
Yeah, no.
I'm fine.
Is small forward really this year? Like, that's what's weird is, like, when we were growing up, like, small forward was the position. Like, now, like, no one plays small forward anymore.
Yeah. Because they're all getting older, so they're moving.
And small ball's a thing, so they're all playing power forward.
Yeah.
KD, Paul George, LeBron, all fours. Giannis. Giannis played shooting guard at the start of his career, I believe.
Yeah.
I think so.
He was also, like...
Didn't he grow, like, 6 fucking inches?
Well, yeah, and he was also, like, 120 pounds. So.
Yeah.
He
all right,
grew
so
a
that
lot.
Means I'm going?
That means you're going because RJ Barrett is irrelevant.
All right. Number 8 is Chris Middleton. It is time to return. And you are, Redden, you basically hit all the points as far as he started off slow. In fact, he barely made the game requirement mistake.
Yeah. Yeah, it was close.
Taken when I
was,
we set.
It was,
yeah,
it
55.
Was right on the money.
Yeah. But you are correct as far as how he decided to finish the season. And I understand that the Bucks lose, and I normally say that's a disappointment. But when you understand that Giannis went down, and if I'm not mistaken, Dame also went down.
Yeah, Damian went down.
That's a different situation than how they lost against the Heat last year. That's a completely different situation, and I can acknowledge that. Chris Middleton kind of willed this team to basically take that series to 6, and I'm giving him his flowers for that.
You're just giving out flowers.
I am. Roses, too.
So my number 8, because we're on 8, right?
Yes, we are.
Is Klay Thompson. And I get that Klay Thompson gets a lot of flack for his production being lower than what it is, but let's be real here. If you told me that your small forward or shooting guard is going to give you 18 points, 3 rebounds, and 2 assists on 43-38 shooting, you're taking that. The only reason we don't is it's Klay Thompson, and he's making way
because
too much money.
Yes.
But in my list, I'm not factoring his contract into it. If you gave me fair value Klay Thompson, this is elite production across the board.
I understand that, but I'm gonna play devil's advocate here for a second, because anyone who's listening to this, they have an idea of what Klay Thompson is in their mind, And the Klay Thompson we're getting right now is not that Klay Thompson. And that's kind of where the disconnect is. Where
so I think...
Yes. Go ahead.
I think I generally agree with you. Okay? But you've got to remember, Klay Thompson also for his career averages 19 points per game, and he averaged 18 this year. It's not like he had this massive fall off offensively. Where I will agree with you that he fell off... Sorry, I'm...
Defense.
But in terms of his offensive fall off, it's not necessarily a fall off. He's basically shooting around the same percentages. He's averaging the same amount of points. He's still having those Klay games. But defensively, he's definitely lost a step. And that was the value of Klay Thompson, was he was a 3-and-D catch and shoot guy. And now he's just that catch and shoot guy. Which again, if you are a contending team, that is a great piece to have, but not at Klay Thompson dollar amounts, which is why he is only number 8 for me, and I feel like I could have... I think you could argue him in the top 6.
I'm going to give you a spoiler. I kicked him off the list.
That's an Angelo thing to do because he went 0-10. I know.
Yep.
Exactly. There wasn't like a doubt in my mind that he was not on your list. I know.
It was not a doubt in your mind.
No, when I was writing it down, like, I try to guess your guys' list as we're going, and, like Klay never crossed my mind for you.
So,
like, it just...
is
I will say RJ Barrett never crossed my mind for Austin's list either.
Yeah.
The Golden L.
Angela, I got a question for you.
Is the name of the episode The Golden L Returns? Yeah, go ahead.
Do you remember when you asked me if I had finished my list or done my list?
You lied to me. I know. It's okay.
I did lie. I was doing the list as you said that. I completely forgot because my wife started feeling bad.
Yeah.
So I was like,
yeah,
well,
exactly. I know you lied to me when I asked because I was asking questions and you were hesitating. I was like,
I'm fully taking the L on RJ. Make that part of the list. Make that the name.
Returns is the name of the episode. Thank you, Austin.
I will take it. I will wear it proudly. Anyways, back to Klay. Ren, question for you.
Yeah.
You were talking about fair value Klay.
Right.
Is the Mavs team fair value Klay?
What's his contract at?
3 for 50.
3 for 50? That's fair. That's less than Andrew Nembhard is getting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's... Honestly, I think you could probably... say, like, if you were telling me you were paying Klay the same amount as Andrew Nembhard, absolutely, that's fair value. Because you're sliding him into a role, yes, he's going to be asked to do more defensively, because, hi, he's playing with Kyrie and Luka.
Yeah. He's now the perimeter defender on that team. Congrats, Klay.
And that's a little scary, but also that team could go the Pacers route and play defense through offense. Like, they have the weapons to do that.
Yeah, but I mean...
The problem is Klay can't get out and run with Luka and Kyrie, and I don't really think Luka can get out and run with Kyrie.
Luka and Kyrie's defense got better?
Yeah, it got progressively better. I mean, Kyrie is still Kyrie, but he's better at playing passing lanes, like, as his career progressed.
Yeah, no, for sure, because he's smart enough to know. But, like, Luka's, I feel like, starting to use his body a little more in defense, which is good to see.
Which he needs to do, because he's freaking massive.
Especially when he's on the guard with, you know.
Luka is improving on defense. I gave him flack for it last year, and I can acknowledge him from where he was last year.
You know who still doesn't play defense, Angelo?
Who's that?
Trae Young.
We'll get to him when we get to the point guards and Ren has an aneurysm. So let me get this straight. So you wouldn't take 20 points and 10 assists. You wouldn't take that? You wouldn't take that? Just say it. Say you wouldn't take 20 points and 10 assists, Angelo.
28 and 11.
Okay. My bad.
And for the record, Trae won't be on any of our lists.
Oh, he was ineligible. That's right.
You all have not done your shortlist for all your positions, it shows.
No, I have not. In fact, I don't even have the shooting guard done, so have fun.
Jesus Christ.
I'll have it done this time next week.
Spoiler, Austin is actually doing his list as we record.
He's doing it live.
He's doing it live. Who's next? Austin's next. Know. Your number, it's you're at Austin. 7, because I did Austin Clay at 8. Columbus.
Oh, yeah. Number 7, MPJ.
Okay, I and thought Ren, he was gonna...
I will fully admit, walking bucket syndrome. I have
it. I know. I figured you guys would.
Yeah. He actually... MPJ is weird to me, and I really wanted to put him higher because I always thought he was, like, a really, really good player. But he's... I feel like he's kind of taken a backseat in that offense.
So, like... yes,
walking bucket, but, like, at the same time, like, he's not in the headlines anymore.
But you also have to realize...
That's because he's not hurt.
That, too. But you also have to realize, like, that team, there's only one basketball and, like... at any given point, any of them can drop 20, 25, 30. Yeah. So, like...
I mean, he's definitely the third option.
I really think that it's the 1 and 2 option, and then it's just a rotating carousel of 3rd through 5th. Because it's Jokic, Murray, and everyone else. Because, like, there's nights it's Aaron Gordon, there's nights it's MPJ. There was nights it was Bruce Brown. Like,
that's fair. But, I mean, we already talked about MPJ. He gets buckets. That's all he does, really. And rebounds. He's got the most rebounds on my list.
He's 6'10". No, he's actually a very good rebounder for his position.
Yes, he is tall, Angelo. Length does not always mean rebounds.
Yeah, like Josh Hart is elite at getting rebounds, and he's only 6'4".
Yeah.
It's sometimes it's just like a nose for the ball, and I feel like MPJ, like, again, he doesn't pass. Yeah. So, like, he just wants the ball in his hands. So, like, when the ball comes off the rim, he just knows where it is because he wants it in his hands. Curious Mike.
Conspiracy theory. He has a little magnet in there.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. 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 So, my number 7 is MPJ. And
whoa.
Yeah, I know, shocking, crazy. Oh, no. And the reason I put him ahead of basically everyone else is, once again, he is the most important part of the Denver Nuggets, which is everything other than Nikola Jokic. So he is a comrade. So what he does matters a lot in the Denver Nuggets' success. And the Denver Nuggets are a very good basketball team. And are capable, even though it didn't look like it in the last playoff series they played, are capable of competing for an NBA title. So I weighted his production a little bit higher than everyone else's.
I feel like you are definitely embracing comrade culture. Mm-hmm. Because you just gave credit to a single cog in the wheel saying that you are just as important as the next man.
He is.
Oh my god, he's gone full communist.
He's gone full communist.
Future Angelo, just start playing the like Russian national anthem right now. That was not even close.
Yeah, it wasn't. It sucked, honestly.
So number 7 from the Charlotte Hornets, Miles Bridges. Like I said, I didn't want him to even be on my list, but I couldn't justify not having a guy that averaged 21 points, 7.5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists on my list. Obviously, horrible person, should not even be in the league, should not be eligible for these lists. But unfortunately, well, he is. I had to. Like, again, I'm acknowledging, should not be playing basketball professionally anymore, should not be in the league, but he is. And so I couldn't not, like, have him on that list. Mm-hmm. It's like Karl Malone. Like, Karl Malone's a piece of shit, but I can't be like, he's not one of the best scorers of all time. Because he was. Piece of shit. Good scorer, though.
Yeah. I think it's the important thing.
I'm not happy. I'm not happy about it, but...
But you have to be able to separate. Here's the thing.
I'm happy about my list, and you guys are not. So, there's the difference.
I'm okay putting him there.
You didn't put Klay Thompson at 18 points per game on your list because he had one bad shooting game.
You're damn straight I didn't, and I'm happy about it.
Angelo's definitely part of the 0-10 Clay club.
Oh yeah, I'm the ringleader, dude. If you haven't noticed.
So anyway, from the Charlotte Hornets, Miles Bridges, number 7.
Okay. Number 6, we have Mikal Bridges. And I mean, I don't know why. Like, for a split second, I thought he was already traded to the Knicks, like, during the season.
I feel like I forgot just... someone.
Oh, maybe? I don't know. Hopefully. That would help me with the Golden L situation, so.
I definitely think I forgot someone.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no, I did not forget someone.
Oh.
I mean, I did. No, he's on my short list. I just never copied him up. I forgot Brandon Ingram. I'm going to just say it now. Brandon Ingram's not on my list, and he should be.
Good. 2 Golden L's!
I mean, I caught it. I don't know how that happened. Yeah, no, Brandon Ingram's not on my list, and he should be.
Let's go!
Like, I know he should be. I'm not going to even sit here and deny it, and he's on my short list.
Yeah, we both screwed up. Anyways, we were on 6, right? Did I say the character player?
Mikal Bridges.
You said Mikal Bridges.
That's right. 25-4. He was not super great this year. He really wasn't. But he was also on the Nets, and what really can you do when you're on the Nets?
He was doing everything he could. He was doing everything he could.
He played 82 games.
He hasn't missed a game since high school.
And I know he hasn't missed a game since high school.
Disgusting.
It's still impressive every year.
I mean, Tom Thibodeau is going to, he's putting his foot down. Mikal Bridges will play 48 minutes a night until he's hurt.
Yeah, he'll stop that streak. He'll be sure.
I wanted to put him higher,
though. Shit personally.
But he was inefficient.
Yeah, for sure.
He had 44, rounding up 44 from the field and 37 from three.
I 100% acknowledge that. But at the same time, you know, you have your best defender and you're looking at the Brooklyn Nets, and who are you going to put on other than Bridges?
Yeah,
right. Exactly. Like he was having to do all the work defensively and all the work offensively. There was no one creating shots for him but him.
That's why, spoiler alert, Mikal Bridges will be back.
Did you know his nickname was Noodles?
Yes. And also, a fun fact about Mikal Bridges. He ate Chipotle every day for like 3 years. Every day.
That sounds like Ren's future fucking plans after this podcast goes huge.
Did you guys see his nicknames? Like, I need to go on the sidebar real quick.
On a sidebar? Mikal Bridges?
The Warden.
Bridges?
I'm going to... Noodles.
The Warden of what, Logo losing?
Gadget. String Bean.
String Bean.
That's Riddle. Such.
That's funny.
Riddle makes no sense.
Brittle Bridges.
Praying Mantis, and then Brooklyn Bridges.
Yeah, because he's all Brooklyn has. That one makes sense. Or had.
No, that's had. A good one.
Can't say had.
Yep.
So sidebar, because we were talking about nicknames, they've been like churning out Team USA basketball content for like
last 2 weeks. Insane.
LeBron is the GOAT on Team USA.
And they asked the players who on the team had the best nickname.
Mm-hmm.
So just real quick, who do you think on the team has the best nickname? Because the consensus amongst the players was it was either King James or Chef Curry. And I think I generally agree with that. I do like Slim Reaper.
Yeah, I was going to say, I understand those two, but there's just something about how the way Slim Reaper sounds. It just, I don't know. I think King James is probably number 3 to me. I'd probably do Chef, Slim, and then King James.
My favorite nickname is Trey Young's because he's not on the team.
Why is that?
Neither is Jaylen Brown.
Mm-hmm.
That's all Nike's fault, though.
I seen it.
Where were we? I was on number 6, Mikal. So, Angelo, number 6.
Brandon Ingram.
whoops. No,
that was great. That was honestly good timing, right? Literally just as Brandon Ingram came in.
So I think I found out what happened. When I was making my final adjustments, I scooted everyone up to get Chris Middleton on. And so I deleted Brandon Ingram.
That's the same thing that happened with Domantas Sabonis last year. It's okay. It's okay.
No, Domantas Sabonis was because he was a power forward the entire time he was in Indiana. I don't know how many times I have to keep saying this. The entire time followed his career, he was a power forward, and then he was
you never live that down, Ren. Don't you worry.
I'm perfectly comfortable just saying that every time. Like, he switched positions the year after he left Indiana. My bad. Go on. Number six.
So anyway, here's my take. Brandon Ingram is actually the most important piece on the Pelicans. I'm not saying he's the best, but he has the most availability, and he does take on the workload offensively, specifically when Zion is out. Now, granted, Zion, for the most part, had a healthy season, and he was eligible for this list for the first time, I'm pretty sure, in his career.
We were so close. Like, we got to see a flash of Zion playoff basketball, and it was so good.
We were so close.
We got teased so bad.
And I think that's kind of the concerning thing, seeing Brandon Ingram in trade rumors, because if you trade Brandon Ingram is the glue that keeps this thing together while Zion is out. So if you just pitch him, set him to the cap, send him wherever, what exactly do you do when Zion goes down now? You lose, pretty much. So,
I don't know. To be fair, that's largely what they did anyway.
That's fair. Who's your number six, Ren? I'm glad. It's not Brandon Ingram, so who is it?
So do you remember who my number seven was?
Nope.
Not Michael Porter Jr.?
From the Charlotte Hornets.
Miles Bridges. Yes.
So my number six is from the Charlotte Hornets, Brandon Miller. And so this was a lot of potential. So we talked about this. Austin won't remember this because he was probably in Disney, but Angelo and I talked about this during the Rookie of the Year discussions. Any other freaking year, Brandon Miller was the Rookie of the Year.
He would have had it.
You know, again, he plays for the Charlotte Hornets, so there's a lot of, you know, not winning going on, so a lot of empty stats, as we like to call it, but he still averaged 17.3, 4.3, 2.4 on 44-37 shooting. So if you remember earlier when I said that I clicked off of the Milwaukee Bucks, it was because I was pulling up the Charlotte Hornets because I wanted to check something.
Here's the thing. Did you feel, because I had this confliction debating 7 through 10 a few times, do you feel comfortable having two players on the same team in your small fours list? Because I did not.
So do you remember earlier when I was like, oh, this is going to be funny? It's because I didn't realize that until that moment.
Gotcha.
Like, it did not click in my head. Like, now it's obvious. I caught it when I looked at my list. I was like, oh shit, wait. But again, playing basketball reference, because I'm sure one of them was playing the four.
Yep.
To be fair, if we had agreed to keep Paul George, if we said he was a three, it would have happened.
Well, no, because so the problem with that was Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, according to lineups, played an equal amount of time. They both played 50% small forward, 50% power forward. Like, they were in the lineup at the same time, but depending on who the defensive matchup was, they were each, like, interchanged between the three and the four. You and I were saying Paul George makes more sense as a three, Kawhi makes more sense as a four, if we have to have them on separate positions. And Angelo, just them's the rules.
Them's the rule.
But no, so Brandon Miller.
Get a soundboard for that.
We need to.
Them's the rules. Okay. Yes. I got you. I got you next time, buddy.
So the thing about Brandon Miller, then the reason I did have him high is once I started looking at his season segments and how he's progressed throughout the year. Because just since the All-Star break, I'm not going to go into like all the segments to break down the progression. But since the All-Star break, he averaged 19 points on 44, 35, 81 shooting splits. Rebound numbers went up slightly. Assist numbers went up slightly. Just overall became more efficient and a better scorer and all-around player as this progressed. And with someone this young, again, any other year, he's in that legitimate conversation for Rookie of the Year. So for me, I had to have him up here because we saw that progression. We saw the flash of the future that is the Charlotte Hornets. Hopefully they yeet Miles Bridges out of the league. Because a future of Lonzo Ball and Brandon Miller is a pretty good one. And I know, like, there was a lot of, like...
LaMelo,
yeah, right. Ball brother. There was a lot of, like, backlash. Like, it was a My Career storyline where, like, Hornets fans were pissed that they got Brandon Miller. Mm-hmm. But, like... If you ask me right now if I'm taking Brandon Miller or Scoot Henderson, right now it's Brandon Miller.
Oh, 100%.
100%.
100%, yeah.
Now, obviously, Wemby is now, the 101. Now,
time out, though. What did I say at the draft? Was it a hot take? I don't know. But my hot take was Brandon Miller was going to be better than Scoot Henderson. What came to pass?
I agreed with that. I said besides Wemby, Brandon Miller was the best player in the draft class.
Brandon Miller was number two, right?
Yeah.
Not in the draft, but yes. Or was he?
The Hornets passed Scoot. Yep. That's why.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why everyone is pissed off.
But like Scoot's nice. Like absolutely. It's just like we saw two-way potential from Brandon Miller on a team that did not care about playing defense, and they were having way too much fun losing. They were celebrating on the bench like.
Ren says you were having too much fun losing, that's how you know you have a problem.
Yep.
Because like, no, it dead ass, it reminded me of 2K because it's like you're down by 30 and you're celebrating a dunk. Like, get over it. You lost. But like their entire bench was like freaking out every time something happened. But
it's moral victories.
They need a veteran presence in the locker room. This team is very young. Maybe you trade Miles Bridges for a vet. Out of like the Euro leagues, you send them over there. Regardless, Brandon Miller, number six from the Charlotte Hornets. Two players.
I don't hate it. I don't hate it. And I'm not going to lie. He was on my list for a minute, but then partially I think Miles Bridges stats wise deserved it more. And also, I kind of forgot there was any other rookie in the league besides Wemby and Chet. Because that's really all the coverage was about.
Yeah, and that's what I was saying. Like, you have two generational big men that were doing freakish things.
Yeah.
And Brandon Miller just had an amazing rookie year, and it kind of got forgotten, which is disappointing.
Agreed. All right, number five?
Number five.
Number five, DeMar DeRozan.
Yes!
I started...
This is what I missed!
I knew he did it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I started him at two.
And then I started looking,
and I was like, you know what? This play is a little better. Move him to three.
At this point, why didn't you just put Miles Bridges ahead of him then?
I debated it. I'm not gonna lie. I debated it. I tried my damnedest to find a way to put him into six, just so he wouldn't be top five. But I mean, you have to respect the 24 points for how much I think about DeRozan. However, inefficient.
Mm-hmm.
I think he learned one thing in Chicago. And that was how to join LaVine in stat padding.
Oh, no.
He's the only person in my top five that wasn't on a playoff team. And his value is apparent because he got traded for Chris Duarte, who is 3.9 points. Harrison Barnes, who's like 60 years old.
Okay.
In 2 seconds.
Okay. Time on that. Time out on that. It was a sign and trade where he said, I'm leaving. They didn't have an option.
It doesn't.
That's not his value. They
If not, maybe a second too much.
Oh,
he is not a good player. I don't know why people think he is good.
And
Boston.
What?
I got nothing.
Oh my god! Austin did it! He shot run! I've been trying to do it for years! Ah! He did it! He did it!
His nickname is Mr. I Am Toronto. You are gone, sir. So?
No, it's not right. It's...
I said Angelo. I changed it.
Okay, number five.
Yeah.
I put Mikal Bridges at number five. The only thing I think you didn't point out is how good he was defensively. He was Brooklyn's best offensive player and their best defensive player. He played all 82 games while taking the number one option on both sides. I think he deserves top five. And quite honestly, the only reason I didn't put him higher is because one dude was contributing to a playoff team and the other three had at least three or four more points than them and contributed also on playoff teams. What you got, Ron?
I've got Mikal Bridges at five.
Why?
Because he wasn't as good as DeMar DeRozan.
I'm trying to figure out who you have on this list then, Ren.
Probably the same five people I have left.
Did Austin forget someone?
I feel like Austin must have forgot someone.
That would be a second one. What do you do if he forgets two people? What would you do?
No, I'm totally happy with these four. Like, if I forgot someone, they weren't worth it.
I'm actually, like, looking at my list, trying to figure out who the hell he has in the top four.
Yeah, because DeMar's not there. So we have three people. So who's the fourth? You're right, because we have three people who isn't DeMar on this list. Who is the fourth
one? Wait, has he said Ingram yet? I don't think he said Ingram yet. That's it.
It's Ingram.
I have not said Ingram.
Yeah, yeah, it's Ingram. Okay.
That's not, like, no, I'm cool with these four.
That's great that you're cool with them, but
I just have someone higher than I thought you were going to.
I'm guessing it's our both number four.
Probably. Anyways, Ren, you already did your five.
Yeah, it's Mikal Bridges. We've talked about Mikal Bridges enough. Okay. Like, again, he's a Swiss Army knife. Can do anything.
Yep. Number four. The Ying to Paulo's Yang. Franz Wagner.
Franz is also my four.
Oh, fantastic. We all can talk together.
Let's have a group therapy session about Franz Wagner. Let's go.
Yep. Over DeMar DeRozan. Let's do it. I love it.
Over DeMar.
I mean, the Magic got to the playoffs. He scored well. Wasn't the most efficient from three, right? Could have been better. But he really
after
is.
Paulo, he was their best offensive weapon. Granted,
after Paulo, he was their only offensive weapon.
Yeah, for sure.
That's fair.
But I think it speaks volumes that he can take, those two can take a Magic team that hasn't been in the playoffs for a while.
Like, yeah, but the Magic defense was immaculate.
It was.
But you can only, you still got to score points.
Yeah, but like.
But that was the only problem. The Cavs were healthy and they were still getting very limited by the Magic's defense. The only problem is the Cavs held the Magic to under like 80 points in three games. Yeah, and there's your series right there.
Because if I'm saying
they only have two, so you have to respect the two.
But like they only have to score like 90 points to win a game.
Exactly.
Like, why are we arguing? We all have Franz at four.
I'm just saying, like, you don't need elite offense when you can hold a team. Because, like, what was their defensive rating? It had to have been insane.
It was up there.
Orlando. defense. Not the playoffs, because they kind of fell off a cliff.
Magic.
Yeah, they did.
Playoff basketball is completely different. Yeah.
Defensive rating 111.3. They were second in the NBA.
Who was first?
The Timberwolves. That's
a good question.
The Timberwolves.
Oh, yeah. It was the Timberwolves.
Okay. That makes sense.
The problem is their offensive rating was 22nd in the NBA.
Yeah.
Good lord, they were.
Their pace was 25th in the NBA.
Look, we've already established they're not the best offensive team.
You know what they need? Andrew Nembhard. Defensive point guard that can push the pace.
You know who would actually, granted, this
Jonathan Isaac on the Pacers.
This team, well, actually, maybe.
That's not a bad,
maybe he wouldn't be the one. You know who would take this team over the top? I can't believe I'm saying this.
Trae Young.
Yeah.
The only problem is they have so much good point guard play. Like, are you really going to break up that?
That's because,
like, that would be my problem with, like, an Andrew Nembhard.
But in a way, yes, because you just need the offense. The defense is still going to be elite. You still, even if you're not going to trade all the defensive players, you still have four.
That's literally what the Hawks tried to do.
What if you get a cat?
What? Oh, cat, like Carl Anthony Towns.
Anthony Towns.
I thought Austin like lost his mind.
Honestly, Trae Young seems like a guy who needs a lonely guy cat.
That's
anyway.
So rude. So we all have Franz at four.
You can name him champion. That's the only way he'll get close to be a champion.
So now Austin, I'm guessing, has Ingram at three.
Austin does not.
Oh,
Austin does. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
I was gonna say.
I was speaking before I looked at my list. Yeah. No. Yeah. Ingram's at three.
Which means I think Angelo has matched me with DeMar at three.
I have.
God damn it. We have the same fucking list. I hate you so goddamn much.
So real quick on Ingram. I agree. Angelo hit everything I wanted to talk about. He is not the best player in the Pelicans, but the most important for sure.
Oh, you know what? No, Ingram's ass.
Yeah, you're right.
He didn't even make my list.
Tragic. Should have put RJ Barrett above him.
Does seem like the kind of guy who doesn't value glue guys.
I value glue guys.
I would see Ren valuing glue guys.
I value glue guys way too much. I am the opposite. Glue guys. Glue guys.
Glue guys.
I am the opposite
glue
of that.
Guys.
Yeah.
I
Angelo's
like
probably like he gives respect to one or two and all the others just don't deserve to be in the league.
No, because then he's just
Ren
like oh, the star
too
players.
Much respect.
Yeah, me, I'm like, oh yeah, this 10th man on the roster is critical.
Yep. Without them, we don't win a championship because that one block in the first game of the season set the
but
tone.
But you don't. Like you're absolutely right. You don't win the championship without that game one setting the standard.
So
at least I'm not like Angelo, like where it's like, oh, he was playing on a broken leg and he shot 0-for-8 in that one playoff game 6 years ago. He should be out of the league, even though he just won MVP and led the league in scoring.
Damn straight.
That's Angelo.
Damn straight.
Because like Klay Thompson could win Finals MVP next year. Klay Thompson could break the record for 3-point shoot. No. He could.
If he's on the Mavs, no one's winning Finals MVP except Luka. If they win. About it.
Yeah, there is.
Luka deserved Finals MVP on the losing team.
Andre Iguodala.
What about him? Klay is not going to be that defensive than Iggy.
He's not defensive enough to get 30 dropped on his head every night.
What?
Andre Iguodala did not deserve that Finals MVP.
Thank you! Thank you!
Wardell, Stephen Curry.
You're just mad.
No. It was the retirement tour, even though he wasn't retiring yet. It was the end of his career. Way to go, champ. Here you go.
He deserved it.
He had a great playoff series. He was not the finals MVP.
He deserved it.
He got destroyed. Like, his job, if you're giving it to him because he sacrificed himself and got dunked on by LeBron James every game, go for it.
LeBron averaged a triple-double in that series.
Did they win?
But here's the thing. Ren's the same guy who's going to be like, he dropped a triple-double, but he was wildly inefficient compared to what LeBron normally does. So, I mean, do you?
You started speaking, and I just heard Ren's voice.
Exactly!
What LeBron did in that playoff series was fantastic. He still lost. It doesn't matter, right, Angela?
Exactly.
But because LeBron still was dropping a 30-point triple-double every night. And you're like, oh, his defense. No.
Did they win?
They won because Wardell Stephen Curry is that guy.
Nah, they won because of Iggy.
Okay, so why did they win the rest of them?
Because of KD, honestly.
Yeah.
Someone said this?
No. One of them, you have to give credit for the last one to Steph. That was all-time great.
To be honest, someone mentioned this, but KD's signing with the Warriors kind of did, rob us of a Magic Bird-level feud between LeBron and Steph. Like, a fair one. Where you didn't know who was winning each series.
It was kind of hilarious, honestly. KD was the ultimate villain in NBA history, and it's so funny because he was the nice guy for so long.
Yeah.
I remember when the rumors started that he was going to join the Warriors, and everyone was like, two scoring champions on the same team? What the fuck?
Yep.
And then it actually happened, and it was like, what the actual fuck?
Yeah.
It felt like a 2K trade.
It felt unfair, yeah. It for the league.
But again... That same thing happened in 2010 when LeBron had the decision and joined Dwayne Wade, who was the second best player in the league.
To be honest, at the time it felt unfair. After you know what happens, it's not actually that unfair because Bosch and Wade specifically, fell off a cliff relatively fast.
He was still, at least for the first 2 years, the second best player in the NBA.
For the first year, I can agree. For the second year, I'd have to really look into it.
I can't think of who else it would be. But that was a long time ago. So 2011, yeah. Derrick Rose, maybe. I mean, there's going to be Homer picks for Carmelo Anthony.
Here's the thing.
Tim Duncan.
LeBron had Wade and Bosch. Steph, KD, and Klay were already there before. Draymond, and Klay.
In 10 years, Klay Thompson's going to shoot 0 for 10 in a playoff game. He doesn't matter. Right? That's the Angela
thing.
He
didn't shoot 0 for 10 to that point.
Who was talking? Whose turn was it? Did we just completely derail?
Well,
100%. We derailed
it. I had three with Ingram, and then we ended up...
And then me and you had DeMar DeRozan. And yeah, instead and of talking about talk DeRozan, about we decided to sidetrack it.
Because he's forgettable.
Oh, no.
Which I was about to say, which kind of proves Austin's point.
Sidebarred
on DeMar DeRozan's
side. Well, no, we were talking about the importance of players... And then...
No. You don't get to cover this up. You were going to talk about DeMar and you completely forgot and went
Because we were shit-talking Angelo on the fact that Klay Thompson could win finals MVP next year and he's still... we were talking glue guys.
No, we won't.
This was a whole thing. It all made sense. Go back and listen to it. It all made sense how we got here. DeMar DeRozan at three for Angelo and I. There's nothing else to say except Austin is so laughably wrong. It's embarrassing.
Don't think so.
Austin has usurped me in this one. I will acknowledge. I acknowledge
no,
Austin.
I will take this episode. This is still not as bad as putting KD at six. I want you to shut up now.
Actually, I do agree with Austin on that one.
I just said for the, I didn't mean in total. I just mean for this. For
DeMar,
the small
so like you,
me on the small.
I'm definitely the enemy of the episode.
Absolutely. But yeah. Like you could argue DeMar's not top four because his team didn't make the playoffs. Whatever. You're wrong still because talent wise he's easily top four and I have him at three for a reason.
Top four out of the league in a year. Agreed.
You're acting like we don't know who DeMar DeRozan is. Like, the NBA has had this, like, wool pulled over their eyes for, what, 13 years? How long has he been in the league?
Exactly. Forgettable.
Okay, how long has...
That was good. That was good. Okay.
How long has Brandon Ingram been in the league?
Brandon Ingram? 8 years.
I swear to God, if he's right... He's got him pulled up. Okay, you know what? Hold on. I'm not going to do a small.
No,
forward.
I don't.
I haven't checked yet.
I don't have him pulled up.
Okay, I'm going to do
9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 15. He's been in the league for 15 years.
DeMar
DeRozan is?
Damn.
Holy
shit. Why hasn't the NBA caught on to this thing that Austin has realized?
We don't realize how long he's been in because no one hears about him.
You two should be employed by an NBA team. I would love to see an actual team constructed by you guys.
Honestly, I would too.
Honestly, we did that, and I think I won, didn't we?
We did a second rounder draft.
Oh, no. I picked the diamonds in the rough.
No, we're going to actually do this where you two sit down and construct a team with your preconceived biases. So, like, we're going to go on 2K. This isn't going to be an episode, yeah, like, sidebar thing, and then I'm going to share the results. Where you do a fantasy draft, and you have to build your team together. And, like, you have to have those biases. Like, if DeMar DeRozan's the best player available, you can't take him because he's ass.
I wasn't going to.
I'm cool with that.
Okay, we'll do it. Who's your number three, then?
Number two.
Who's your number two?
The questionably best player on the Celtics.
Okay. I also have Jaylen Brown at 2.
Yeah. I'm assuming Angelo does too.
Oh, maybe
no. Maybe not, actually. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not. Hold on.
It's Jaylen Brown just won finals MVP.
Kawhi Leonard is number 2.
Can't even say his name right.
Kawhi?
I don't know how you can justify that. Like, I'm the biggest Kawhi hater there is, but, like, looking just at their statistics, I am interested in how you try to justify that. Kawhi hasn't beaten literally everything.
It's not as far as you think it is.
I was about to say, it's because of the playoffs. Jaylen Brown is literally coming off conference finals MVP and finals MVP on the Boston Celtics. They were close, but that was the tipping point for me for Jaylen. That is what I wanted to, honestly, you don't think I wanted to put Kawhi at number one? I totally wanted to put Kawhi at number one. But
like
in the art of making the playoffs matter and making that a focal point for my list, you got to do that. Them's the shakes.
But Kawhi Leonard clears
he
every
does.
Stat.
I'm not saying you're wrong. In the regular season, I'll even give it to you. Absolutely. Kawhi cleared Jaylen and everything. In the playoffs, Jaylen had a better run.
You know the
well,
best
yeah,
thing,
he won the finals MVP. No shit.
Yeah.
You know the best thing, though?
No shit. You're saying justified. There it is. Right there, dude. Go ahead. Sorry.
Best thing. Neither of them are on Team USA. One of them got sent home. One of them couldn't play because of Nike.
Small forward is tragic.
Small forward is tragic.
Is there a single Team USA player on?
No. Isn't Mikal Bridges and Brandon Miller both on like full roster, but not like on the roster?
Not on the roster.
Like injury reserve type shit. I thought both of them were, but I could just be thinking of like the FIBA
team.
Let's
see. I'm looking at it.
I think they're both on the FIBA team.
Yeah, I think they're on the FIBA team.
That might be what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
Steph, AD, KD.
There's not a single small forward forward on there.
There is not a single small forward on Team USA right now.
It is tragic.
But like 5 years ago, this team would have been solely small forwards.
Small forwards, mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So Jaylen Brown at 2 for me makes sense because like you can say, oh, he had a good finals run, whatever. He played on a team that was stacked to the
core. Played the best when it mattered the most.
Wasn't getting the key defensive matchups.
He played the best when it mattered the most.
Like, I put Kawhi at 1. Like, do you have any idea how hard that was for me?
I know. That must have been really hard for you, buddy.
That's what's blowing my mind right now, that you put KD at 6, and this motherfucker put DeMar DeRozan at 5. I put Kawhi at 1.
And to be fair, he was trying to get DeMar to 6, too, to kind of match the energy.
There's no way you could. There's no way you could.
Were you not trying to get DeMar to 6, Austin? You probably would have, honestly, if you did the if you didn't do the list at the last minute. Austin is away.
So explain, talk through Kawhi.
Like, what's there to talk through? He's fucking amazing. He has one of, if not the best mid-range jumpers in the game. I don't care if you say that's KD. Kawhi feels oppressive when he's going off. Damn. He still is a good defensive player, an elite defensive player. Maybe not as good as he used to be, but he still will take the number one assignment on most nights. And he's the Clippers' best player. Like, what's there to say? He averaged 24 points.
So why is he number 2?
Because he didn't get finals MVP.
So... Just to clarify. We go back in time.
Nikola Jokic was the number one center when he won finals MVP, and it wasn't a debate for me. Yes.
Is Andre Iguodala your number one small forward when he wins finals MVP?
Well, thankfully, I didn't. We weren't making this back then.
No. We're taking the time machine back.
No. I'm fucking destroying that time machine. I'm taking the sledgehammer to it. There are no wheels on this time machine.
So what you're saying is there are stipulations to the rules that you are creating.
I can imagine that Andre would have made my top 10.
Oh, for sure. But
I want to backtrack something.
Yeah.
Yes.
I actually looked at the stats. I don't think Iggy deserved that.
No shit.
Like, Iggy is my favorite player, right? Y'all know that.
Yep.
But I don't know if he deserved that.
It was like giving Ja Morant most improved. Like, it made no sense.
No, I mean, it was like giving... I mean, in my opinion, you could probably compare it to Embiid getting the MVP.
No, that was Kendrick Perkins was solely responsible for that, and then he backtracked and he was like, "Wow, you all voted for Embiid. Clearly, Joel was not number one. Why did you do that?" He acted shocked. It was hilarious. Yeah.
It's okay, my brain hurts. I got you.
My brain hurts.
My brain hurts too.
Do you got anything else?
I'm good.
All I know is RJ Barrett good, man. Will be back.
RJ Barrett will be
RJ back. Barrett will be back.
If there wasn't so many golden L's, that might actually be the title of the episode. It was a worthy title. But we had Bren missing Brandon Ingram. We had Austin adding RJ Barrett.
Which I caught.
Which he I caught. No, wait, no, I he didn't it. Catch it. He didn't
I did.
Catch
no,
it.
I did.
DeRozan at 5.
I could have easily slotted him in to the Miles Bridges slot and just, like, played it off. And that would have been fine, but I didn't. Because I noticed
it. That's fair.
Because I could have just been like, oh, yeah, Miles Bridges didn't make my list because he's a piece of shit. And here's Brandon Ingram at 6. I didn't do that. I caught it and I said, oh, shit. No, I fucked up my copy-pasting.
Like, Ingram at 6 would have been a little too low anyways.
I don't know. I actually like looking at it. Like, I would have
Brandon
Mikal
Ingram
Bridges
was
above
my
him.
6.
Yeah, I would have Mikal Bridges still and Franz over him.
Yeah,
like my top 5 would be unchanged. If, like, I would have had Ingram at 6 and then slid everyone down, but I wanted Middleton on the list and I moved everyone up because of that and fucked up. That's on me, but I wanted Middleton there. So, hey, if you like what we do here, leave a comment, subscribe, follow, whatever your podcatcher lets you do. Join us here every Sunday for No Reserves Basketball. Next week, we will be back with RJ Barrett and the rest of the shooting guards. Angelo
where
and
I
Alex.
Will take my crown back.
Angelo and Angelo and Alex host a football podcast on Thursday. If you feel like wasting your time, go listen to them talk about men rolling around spandex.
Wasting your time. First off, we did the NFC predictions, and Alex, I think, had a run
Thursday.
Level meltdown on me.
That was Thursday. I'm talking about Tuesday when you released a wrestling podcast.
Why would you talk about that and not the football?
Because I'm trying to get you download so that it's no longer the bottom two episodes on our list.
It's not, actually. But do you know what's below it?
No Angelo's Radio.
Yep.
You know what's funny? That's like the one episode I never pushed. Like, I never advertised that one.
You knew.
I had a really busy week at work, actually. No, I dead ass had a really busy week at work that week.
An epiphany.
You also have to realize, like, I know of at least 3 downloads on the wrestling episodes that were not actual downloads. One of them was me.
They still count. They still count in the numbers, so it's all good.
See, we was listening to it.
We was indeed.
Got really quiet.
Real Tuesday episodes will be coming soon. I'm guessing you guys are going to go back to doing 2 episodes for the football pod as the season starts to get rolling, which
week one, very soon.
Besides that, we might have special episodes releasing on Tuesday. I don't know what the idea or plan is for once you guys are
honestly
doing Tuesday episodes.
Depending on how often you guys do this, we might cut one of the football episodes and then we would just release that. But you guys would really have to step up.
Yeah, no.
Quite honestly.
I agree. I think that it should be kind of interchanged. Because I did like doing No Reserves Pop Culture, and I think there definitely is a market there. But that's not for discussion on the podcast. Follow us on socials at No Reserves. Alex does a great job there.
He does.
Is there anything else we want to talk about before we head out?
I don't think so. Although we'd probably
I'm actually kind of sad Trae Young isn't eligible. I looked it up. He's one game. He missed one game.
That
sucks. We could bend the rules.
I don't get to throw shade at him, unfortunately.
Let's just do a segment about Trae. I'm fine with that.
What do you want to do? He's about to get traded. He's about to be Trae Young. So,
oh my god, Angela, I love that. That's your new gamer tag.
Trade Young?
That's it. That's it.
Book it.
So we will do a where would Trae be on our list if he played one more game? That will be the segment.
Sure.
Honorable mention.
You will get a free Trae Young pass.
Dishonorable message.
And like you're at number 7 and you're like Trae Young pass because you would have put Trae at 7 because you're an asshole.
Okay. 5. Sounds good. You guys can do that.
Deja vu. I feel like we've had this conversation. Like,
where did I put Trae last year? Did I put him at like 9 or 10?
This is so weird. I dead ass feel like we did this exact same thing last year.
What do you mean?
We were talking about Trae Young and where we were going to put on the list last year's rankings, and I think we had this exact same conversation, like, almost verbatim. Where, like, 2 weeks before the episode, like, y'all were shit-talking Trae.
I know I put Darius Garland above him, but I don't know where Darius Garland ended up with the point guards, if he was 8 or 9.
Point guards is going to be fun as hell.
Point guard stacked. Point guard is fun stacked, dude.
Oh, yeah, no, that's going to be one.
I mean, I think 1 and 2 is pretty set, or 1, 2, and 3 are set. And then after that, it's fucking Wild West.
Yeah.
1, 2, and 3 is Wild West between them, or at least one or two are.
Well, I don't know about that. Lucas Shea, I
think, if I'm not off the top of my head. Lucas Shea Brunson.
That's what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah, Brunson!
Yeah.
It's Lucas Shea Brunson and then everybody else.
Yeah.
Spoilers!
I mean, everyone already knew who my one was, so it doesn't matter.
I think all of us are going to have Luca at one. Like,
I wouldn't do that.
I could see a world where you put Shea at one. It just depends. I'm more interested for 10 through 4. Like, that is going to be just...
chaos.
Yeah, that is going to be chaos.
Like, bloody.
I'm pretty sure the number 10 point guard would have cracked the top 3 small forwards.
Oh, easily.
Yeah. Yeah.
Easily.
Honestly, I don't know, like, how much you guys have looked at shooting guards since you don't have shortlist yet.
Haven't yet.
It's way more stacked than small forwards.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's way better.
That means Angelo gets more spicy takes.
Yeah.
More room for spice.
We will see. Join us next week when we go through shooting guards, and then one extra week, and then we're doing point guards, and that's going to be fun. And then after that, who knows? Who knows what we'll do?
Nobody.
And Ryan has another epiphany.
I mean, I already have an idea. We've already talked about it, but no reason to talk about something that's 4 weeks away right now. Have a great week, guys. We will see you on Sunday. Angela will see you before that, and go listen to them talk about men rolling around spandex underwear.
Thanks, Ryan. I appreciate you, buddy.
I don't like wrestling. Love you guys. Bye.